Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Invitation to Sociology, A Humanistic Perspective is Peter L. Berger's concise 1963 introduction to sociology as an intellectual discipline and a distinctive way of seeing social life. Written for students and general readers, the book explains what sociology is, what it is often mistaken for, and why its perspective can unsettle ordinary assumptions. Berger presents sociology not simply as a technical social science, nor as a direct program for reform, but as a form of consciousness that investigates the hidden arrangements, meanings, and institutions behind everyday experience. The book is especially associated with a humanistic approach, emphasizing persons, history, biography, moral agency, and the layered nature of social reality. Berger draws on classical sociological traditions, including Weber and Durkheim, while resisting both narrow positivism and ideological certainty. Its purpose is introductory, but its larger ambition is to show why sociological understanding changes how readers interpret power, identity, religion, social roles, and common sense. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, sociology as a way of seeing beneath everyday appearances. Berger defines sociology less as a collection of facts than as a disciplined perspective that changes the relation between observer and social world. The central insight is that ordinary reality is not self-explanatory. Institutions, customs, reputations, family arrangements, religious practices, class positions, and political claims often appear natural because people encounter them as familiar. Sociology interrupts that familiarity by asking how these arrangements were produced, maintained, justified, and internalized. This is why Berger links sociological thinking with a debunking impulse. The point is not to dismiss social life as false, but to reveal that public explanations rarely exhaust what is happening. A polite convention may carry status distinctions, a private choice may reflect institutional pressure, and a moral certainty may depend on historical circumstances. This makes sociology intellectually disruptive. It trains readers to treat common sense as data rather than as final truth. Berger presents this habit of inquiry as both exciting and dangerous, because each discovered layer can alter the meaning of the whole. The sociologist, therefore, resembles an investigator of social meanings, interested in the gap between official interpretation and lived structure. Secondly, correcting popular misconceptions about the sociologist. A major function of the book is to separate sociology from several public images that Berger considered misleading. The sociologist is not simply a social worker, because social work is a practice directed toward assistance, while sociology is an effort to understand society analytically. The sociologist is also not merely a reformer, because the same sociological knowledge can inform humane reform, administrative control, marketing, propaganda, or domination. Berger likewise rejects the image of sociology as just statistics. Quantitative data can be useful, but numbers become sociological only when interpreted through questions about institutions, meanings, power, and social processes. He also criticizes excessive methodological self-absorption, where technique becomes more important than insight. These distinctions matter because they protect sociology from being reduced to either benevolent activism or technical procedure. Berger does not deny that sociologists may care about social problems, use empirical methods, or support reforms. His point is that these activities do not define the discipline at its core. Sociology begins with curiosity about human arrangements and requires enough intellectual distance to ask uncomfortable questions even when the answers complicate preferred moral or political positions. Thirdly, humanistic sociology as an alternative to narrow scientism. Berger argues for a humanistic understanding of sociology that uses scientific discipline without imitating the natural sciences in a reductive way. He does not reject evidence, comparison, conceptual clarity, or methodological control. Instead, he resists the idea that society can be adequately understood through impersonal measurement alone. Human beings live within biographies, symbols, memories, institutions, conflicts, and moral choices. A sociology that forgets these dimensions may produce orderly data while missing the meaning of social existence. Berger's humanism, therefore, directs attention to persons embedded in history. It asks how social forces shape freedom, how institutions become taken for granted, and how individuals participate in the worlds that constrain them. This approach also distinguishes skepticism from cynicism. The sociologist may expose illusions, but exposure need not lead to contempt for human beings. Berger suggests that sociological understanding can support a cautious compassion, aware of how people are formed by conditions they did not choose. The result is neither sentimental humanism nor mechanical social science. It is an interpretive discipline that studies structures while remembering that those structures are lived by concrete people. Fourthly, the boundary between sociological understanding and moral action, one of Berger's more contested arguments concerns the relation between sociology and practical reform. He insists that sociology as such seeks to understand society, not to prescribe a political program. Sociological research may reveal inequality, prejudice, institutional failure, or unintended consequences, and such knowledge may be valuable to reformers. Yet the decision to act on those findings depends on values that cannot be derived from sociology alone. This distinction is central to Berger's idea of a value-conscious, but analytically disciplined field. It protects inquiry from becoming propaganda, because the sociologist must be willing to report findings even when they inconvenience a preferred cause. At the same time, the position creates tension. Readers who expect sociology to function as an instrument of social justice may find Berger too cautious. Since he separates understanding from commitment more sharply than later traditions of public sociology, or critical sociology, often do. The significance of this argument lies in its realism about knowledge. Berger does not claim that sociologists lack moral lives. He claims that when they move from analysis to advocacy, they enter the shared realm of ethical and political judgment rather than a purely sociological frame. Lastly, classical theory, religion, and the limits of sociological explanation. Berger situates sociology within a broader intellectual tradition, rather than presenting it as a purely modern technique. He draws attention to classical concerns associated with thinkers such as Max Weber and Emil Durkheim, especially the relation between individual meaning and social order. This helps him show both the power and the limits of sociological explanation. Sociology can examine the social consequences of religious belief, the organization of religious communities, the relation between belief and authority, or the role of ritual in sustaining collective life. It cannot, as sociology, decide metaphysical questions such as whether a religious claim is ultimately true. This distinction is important because it prevents the discipline from overreaching. Berger was deeply interested in religion, but in this book he uses religion partly to clarify method. Sociologists study how beliefs operate in human communities, not whether those beliefs are theologically valid. More broadly, this topic reveals Berger's concern with boundaries. Sociology is powerful because it can analyze meanings, institutions, and historical conditions. It becomes confused when it claims authority over questions that belong to philosophy, theology, or moral judgment. In conclusion, Invitation to Sociology is best suited for readers who want an accessible but intellectually serious entrance into sociological thinking. It remains especially useful for students considering sociology, teachers introducing the discipline, and general readers who want to understand why social life cannot be reduced to personal choice or obvious common sense. Its practical benefit is not a set of policy tools, but a sharper habit of interpretation. Readers learn to ask how institutions shape perception, how public explanations conceal deeper arrangements, and how biography and history are intertwined. Its intellectual benefit is equally important. Berger shows that sociology can be empirical without becoming mechanical, skeptical without becoming cynical, and morally alert without turning into doctrine. Compared with many introductory sociology books, it stands out because it is not organized around survey coverage of topics such as class, family, education, or crime. Instead, it explains the vocation and temperament of sociology itself. Compared with more activist or technical works, it is distinctive in its defense of disciplined understanding before prescription. The book is short, readable, and historically important, but its value lies in the clarity with which it presents sociology as a humanistic form of inquiry into the hidden architecture of everyday reality. If you would like to support Peter L. Berger, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.